Let's all stand up as we read from Luke 1, verse 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to the word." Then the angel departed from her. Father, we pray on this moment. We pray that our hearts and our minds are opened to your word and to your spirit. Lord, we pray we listen to your spirit in these moments and that your spirit mold us and transform us more into your image. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes the biggest surprises come in the unlikeliest of places and people. A surprise visitor or an unexpected guest ends up blessing you in some way that you never would have imagined. Now, as I say that, I mention as a little bit of a sidebar, and we'll have a couple of these, but as a sidebar, I've mentioned this numerous times of how much I don't like surprises. They're just overrated. I mean, they are... Okay, I was making sure, like, I wasn't being saying, like, no, they're not. Surprises for me are overrated. And in fact, what I'm learning in 2020 about myself is that I don't do good with chaos. Some of you may embrace chaos. Some of you may enjoy the moments of not knowing or what's around the corner or I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Me, on the other hand, I'm finding I just don't like chaos at all. I don't like not knowing what's going to happen. And we're in a kind of a season of that. And in my family right now, we're kind of in a season of that. And I've already told my wife, as all of this has started, we're doing some things to our house. I looked at her and I was like, this is not going to be a good time for me. I was like, just be prepared. I'm going to be stressed. And it's already been happening. It's just how I deal with things. But I also know that there are some of you in here who probably love surprises. In fact, I can't believe it, but there are some of you in here who probably like to throw surprises for people, who look forward to having a surprise of some sort, or just like a good surprise. Yeah, I don't understand you at all, you know, because that's just not me. And yet still, we read a scripture, we read a Bible, in which we see surprise after surprise after surprise, unexpected thing after unexpected thing in every page that we turn. We see God surprising us on each page of the story as we read, beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation. And as I was thinking about that, I hit up a few of them, and these are just three of the many that there are, but you have Abraham and his visitors of Genesis 18. You remember that, the one who reminded him again that they were having a baby, and Sarah was like, "You obviously don't know how old I am," and she started laughing. But you have that surprise. You also have Joshua 2, just the surprise of Rahab. We all know who Rahab was, right? Rahab, who we pretty much can understand, owned a brothel. And yet we see that God uses her for the spies to bring down the walls of Jericho. We have one of my favorites, 2 Samuel 9, which is David and Mephibosheth, one of my favorite names of the Bible. But you have this moment in which David, who takes the throne, is looking for the rest of Saul's kin. And if you know anything about back in those days, when the new king came to the throne, generally the king wiped out the entire family. And they had put Mephibosheth into hiding so that David wouldn't do that. And yet, the surprising nature of it was is that David wanted to bless Mephibosheth, wanted to give him and give him favor. And if you know the story, Mephibosheth was also crippled and wasn't one of the best of Saul's family. And so you have these stories. And by the way, there are more and more of these stories as we read, probably some that you can come off of your head as you think about it. But if we read the Bible, if we read Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, we are surprised on a normal basis about what God does, where God is this unexpected being who does things that we're not quite prepared for. And so when we read the text for today of Luke 1, when we read the text of Mary, we should be surprised by what we're reading. We should be it catches us off guard, because here's why, and Ron mentioned a couple of things, but first off, no one would have ever picked anybody from Nazareth. I mean, let's just remember what is said in John 1 verse 46. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, nothing good is supposed to come from this town and in this place. Just like no one imagined a teenage girl from an inconsequential family and engaged to a Joe Schmo would be the bearer of the King of Kings. I mean, Joseph, it tells us and reminds us in Luke's narrative that he is from the line of David, but there was nothing special about Joseph. He was just a guy. He had a cool line he was from, but he was just a guy. And so you have a girl, not from any big family, from a town in which nothing good ever comes from. One of the reasons being why this is said is because, you know, Nazareth was considered kind of the backwater hillbilly town. You know what I'm talking about. It's like people who come from San Angelo. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. It's that. That's what they thought about Nazareth. There's not any smart people there. Nothing good comes from there. And so all of this is kind of taking shape as we read Luke 1. And so Mary's chosenness by God in this story should catch all of us by surprise. It's meant to. Now, most of us in here have probably read the story time and time again. It's why I want us to read it with new eyes for just a few minutes. Mary's chosenness by God is supposed to surprise us. It's supposed to surprise the first century readers as they're reading Luke's gospel of how Jesus came to be. Luke is telling us that the arrival of the Son of Man, and we saw that in verse 32, you're going to call him the Son of the Most High. Luke's trying to tell us that this is different. How Jesus comes into the world is different. It's world-changing. It's a reversal that no one in the first century is ready for, and people today are still trying to grasp with. All the ideas and notions about how God works and who God works through is being flipped on its head in this story of Luke 1 and Gabriel showing up to this teenage girl's house. Because you see, the Messiah will arrive. And did you notice what Gabriel used? It's the thing that catches me most off guard when I read Luke 1. When I read this part of the story, it's the word that stops me for a minute. It's when Gabriel says this: "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, have you ever wondered what that phrase meant to Mary when she heard that? Have you ever thought about what Mary thought when she heard Gabriel say, "Greetings, favored one"? He could have just said, "Greetings, Mary," right? But instead, he says, "Greetings, favored one." I mean, the favored idea would have made sense if Mary would have been from a family of meaning, or have been from a family of power that had financial means, and people all around the area knew who they were. I mean, the definition that Gabriel is giving Mary in this moment of favored goes against all the popular culture definitions of favored. I mean, many religious groups and even popular culture has defined God's favor in a much different way than what Gabriel is defining it in this moment to Mary. Because you see, many of us still think in our heads that favored means favored should go to an individual who has shown great piety, who is, you know, good at prayer or comes to church every Sunday or does any of those kind of things. It goes to a person of valor. It even goes to a person who's even given something back to God. We have this idea of favor this way, that when the individual shows this kind of graciousness to God, then God blesses them with something. And it's this, one of 2020's favorite words, it feels like, has, or 2019, 2020, it's a quid pro quo kind of thing. I scratch God's back, God scratches my back, and therefore I become favored. And this is kind of the definition. This has kind of been the definition of favored in the first century and centuries before that. It's even our definition of favored. When we do something for God, then God will do something for us. A quick sidebar for that, if you're struggling with understanding that, is read Luke 18 real quick. Luke 18, the rich ruler. You remember him, right? He comes to Jesus and wants to know how to earn or inherit eternal life. And he comes before Jesus and they have this conversation. And in the very end, he turns away from Jesus sad. And the amazing thing about it is the crowd, including the disciples, are like, whoa, if this guy can't get in, then we're all in trouble. Why? First, he's a rich, and secondly, he's a ruler. He's blessed and he's beyond blessed. He should be considered favored in God's eyes. There should be no issues here. It shouldn't even be that he should come to Jesus and have to ask this question. It should have been when he asked it, Jesus just said, well, look at your life. You've been blessed. Everything's good. You're favored. The Lord is with you. But we see a different kind of conversation between Jesus and the rich ruler, enough to where it surprises. And they're like, well, if this guy can't get in, how is it possible for any of us to get in? And Jesus says, what we read Gabriel will say here in a little bell, what is not possible with man is possible with God. So we begin to understand how this culture and even how we view what it means to be favored, what it means to be favored by God. Mary was not any of these things in the story. And yet Gabriel calls Mary both favored and in some translations, the King James Version, we'll call it, it says, Mary, you're favored. And then, and most of our translations now say, the Lord is with you. But the more earlier ones, it says, blessed are you among women. Get that. Mary, not over, I'm going to show up and say, favored one, blessed are you among women. All the notions of favored that go against every popular idea. And yet here we have the story in which the Messiah will come through the one who is favored, but yet did not do anything to earn the favor. God's favor upon Mary is unexpected. It is surprising. God's favor, the promise of the Lord's presence, is a gift to Mary. And it's not a gift that Mary had to or has to continue to try to earn. Gabriel didn't say, hey, because you've done this, 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 and this, we're going to give you this. Because let's be honest, as we move further into the story, I don't know how many of us would have been like, well, this sounds like an awesome blessing, Gabriel. Thank you for this. This is what I've wanted. Because if we think about what's going on here, maybe we can understand why in verse 29, but also verse 34, Mary is a bit alarmed. In verse 29, it says she starts pondering what Gabriel's saying. In verse 34, she says, how could any of this be? Because I'm a virgin. Because Mary knows exactly what's going to happen the minute she starts showing that she's pregnant. There's going to be a social stigma on her. She knows what's going to be said about her. Why? Because she probably runs in those circles of Nazareth in which some of those girls have said certain things about other people. She knows the kind of gossip that's going to come her way. She knows the innuendos that will be coming her way. She knows the side eyes that will be coming her way. And you know what I mean by side eyes. They don't really look at you. They just kind of look as you walk by and they kind of make that sound. She knows what's about to happen to her. This isn't the kind of blessing that any of you or I would have said, like, this sounds great. With Gabriel's announcement to Mary is coming some form of pain, is coming some form of hurt in all of this. There are questions in this announcement because we all know how the birds and the bees happen. We see it earlier with Zachariah and Elizabeth. If we read the story of Zachariah and Elizabeth, you remember when Elizabeth is told, hey, you got this amazing parallelism to Abraham and Sarah and all that, but But, you know, Elizabeth, you're going to be pregnant. Zechariah says, well, okay. And they, and the Gabriel says, well, then you're just not going to talk for a little while. Which you have to think Elizabeth was like, thank God. But it tells us, the story tells us that actually Zechariah goes back to Elizabeth and they conceive a child, right? I mean, the way that we know how it happens. Yeah, that ain't this. And Mary knows that ain't this. And Mary knows what comes with this. Mary knows the questions that are happening. But here's the thing about this story, which surprises us about God, is God didn't go to the high places of society for the Messiah to be born. The King of Kings didn't arrive on a chariot. It didn't arrive in the home of high society and to the praise of the elite. Instead, it's Mary. It's the teenage girl from a know-nothing town marrying a know-nothing person. We'll have to deal with some interesting things along the way. It's not a person, there's no sense of status or privilege here. She's not ready for any of this. But would any of us be ready for any of this? And as we read the story of Mary in this moment, we realize that we look at ourselves a lot like Mary looks at herself. We tend to have a tendency to not see us as being favored by God. We have a tendency of not seeing ourselves as God sees us. Sure, we might see others around us as more worthy or more favored by God. I'm sure Mary could have said like, well, she would be better for this, or she would be better for this, or she would be better for this. We have a tendency of saying the same thing. God will use them. God will use him. God will use her. But no way God can use me because I'm just a nobody in all of this. What this is a lie that the world has been telling us for years and years, that God's favoredness, God's chosenness on you goes to some form of merit, that God works on a merit system, a hierarchy system of only the most deserving people and only most perfect people get God's favor. And then we read this story, and it surprises us just a little bit more, that God's favor is never about being ready. Because most of the time, we're not ready for what God is going to use us for. So when we read the story of Mary and how the Messiah will arrive into the world, it should resonate to us as good news. The unexpected and surprising guest is blessing us, is saying, I am with you. The story we read today about Mary and Gabriel showing up is not a story of perfection or having it all together. It's not a story of getting our life completely straightened out and completely right before God can use us. That we've prayed all the right prayers. We made sure we haven't skipped a day of church. We've even made sure we've read our Bible a little bit. This story isn't about any of that. The heroine in this story is not prepared for what God has planned for her. And yet God says, not only are you favored, I'm going to be with you. She has questions. She protests. She admits the impossibility of the entire plan. And when we read the plan, it feels a little bit far-fetched. She probably feels like she'll have to carry this burden all by herself. That she's not going to be, how is she going to do this by herself? And then Advent steps in. This is this point in which we step into Advent. And Advent reminds us that not only that Mary didn't have to do it by herself, that when God said, you are favored, what did he say next? I am with you. Advent is a time in which we sit back and we wait, but we also remember that God went to a teenage girl in a know-nothing town where she was know-nothing as well and said this, I'm going to break into the world through you. I'm going to use you. You are favored, and I am going to walk with you through this. No matter where your life is right now, the story tells us this. The story tells us that no matter where your life is right now, you are favored. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be a certain person in a certain stratosphere to be favored by God. You don't even have to be perfect spiritually. None of that. Mary found out none of that was required by God. She was favored, and God wasn't going anywhere. And you are favored today, and God isn't going anywhere in your life. Gabriel says this, if you may be thinking, I don't know if I'm favored, I don't know, this may bother me. Gabriel reminds us and says, don't be afraid by any of this. I know it may scare you. It scares us to think that God may actually want to use us, because what does that actually mean for our life? And Gabriel says, do not be afraid by any. Do not be afraid, because God's not going anywhere in the midst of it. And if you need any help, if you need anybody to walk with you, God says you're going to have people to walk with you. Because Mary realized being favored by God while a blessing does not mean that your life is roses and rainbows. It means you're going to have to go through life. It means you're going to have to go through the ups and downs of life. But here's what God says. You don't have to go alone, Mary. Did you catch what Gabriel told him? Oh, by the way, in verse 36, I'm going to give you somebody. I'm going to give you Elizabeth. And guess what? Elizabeth, everybody else may try to throw rocks at you. Everybody else may be wondering what you're doing, maybe trying to question what's going on. Guess what? I'm going to put people in your life who are going to walk with you, who are going to understand you, and maybe who are going to see you as I see you, even though others don't. And God does that for you today as well. God says, not only are you favored, but I'm going to put people in your life who are going to see you as I see you. I'm going to put people in your life who understand you. I'm going to put people in your life who are going to encourage you. We have that on a daily basis. Sometimes we don't believe it, but there are people all around us, like Elizabeth, who have found that they are favored. Someone who didn't think she would be, but now can stand by and say, I am going to be with you because you may not see that you're favored, but I know you're favored. I know you're favored, and I'm going to walk with you until you see it, until you live into it, until you realize it, that you are favored by God. And that's it. You're not in it by yourself. Mary wasn't in it by herself. She said it was impossible. She said, I don't see how this can happen. And Gabriel reminds us that you may think whatever God wants to do in your life is impossible, but Gabriel says, guess what? You are following the God who is surprising. You are following the God who is unexpected. And you are following the God where impossible is when he does the best work. And so as we read this story today, the story of Mary reminds us that not only was Mary favored, a girl from nowhere who she was no one to most people, but it also surprises us that in this story we can find ourselves. That because God broke through the world, by the way, to clean up our mess, to clean up our issues, which God walks into the mess of Mary and says, I'm going to be there, walks into your mess today and says, you are favored. You are loved, and while you may not know it, I'm going to put people around you who will remind you of it constantly. And here's the thing, I am going to use you. And if Advent is anything, it is the reminder that God wants to use you today to speak grace, mercy, redemption, and peace into the world. Through a teenage girl, God brought the Son of Man into the world. God brought redemption, reconciliation, love, grace, and mercy. Through you today, God wants to bring in and birth into the people around you, into your neighborhoods, and into your world, grace, love, peace, and mercy. And God calls you today favored. You may not think it, but you are favored by the God of Most High. Live into that chosenness. Live into that being favored. And not only that, tell the others around you that they are favored as well. See them as God sees them. And then they'll see you as God sees you when you need it most as well. If you have any needs, if you would like to come and follow what Cedric and Natalie did into the waters of baptism, you can now as we stand and as we sing.